What I thought we could do today is just talk a little bit about why we do child dedications. Why do we do that? What is the importance of that? And how important Jesus sees children. You see, we're going to look at a little passage here in a little bit about when the people brought their children to Jesus to bless them. And Jesus blessed them. But I believe that we do things like this because children have an innocent nature about them. Right? Children are innocent. And children trust what's being said to them. Children believe the things that are told to them because it's what's being told to them. They don't have any other avenue to go down. They haven't had life's experiences shape and mold them who they are, as sometimes happens to adults, right? I believe that Jesus sees the children as the most important of his creation on this earth. Adults, we're important too. We're role models. We raise up children. We do important things. But I don't think anybody in here can disagree with me when I say that we all have things in life that we have experienced that shape us who we are. And sometimes we lose that innocence of a little child. We become jaded in some areas. We put defenses up in other areas. There are areas that we just pack away that we don't want to unpack anymore. And that's life. But we will find out here in a little bit that Jesus can help us regain that innocence again. That childlike innocence. And so, with that being said, what I'd like to do is look at a passage in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. I believe this childlike innocence should be seen as special. It's special. Because if we lose it, we have to work at regaining it again. But check this out. This is a great story. Mark 10, chapter 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today because it used the word angry. New King James, I think, says rebuke. But that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? Jesus got angry at his disciples? I mean, seriously, he was preaching a sermon to how many people? Probably a lot, right? And here come these parents with these kids, right? Making all kinds of noise and ruckus. I'm sure there was one or two that were just boys, certainly, running all over the place, you know. Ho, 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 whoa, guys, stop, stop. You know, backing them up. And Jesus teaching, it says that he noticed what was happening. So I picture lots of people listening to him. And then like, what is that commotion over there? And he sees that it's his disciples that are keeping parents from bringing children to him. And he openly rebukes them in front of everybody. He got angry at them and said, "Do not hinder the children from coming to me." I think that that is very important because Jesus was saying, I don't care how much noise they're making. I don't care how much of a disruption that you guys might think they are. Bring them to me. They're kids. I love kids. Because he says, he talks about their childlike innocence. You know, and then he used it as a teaching moment. And also, this same story is found in two other Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And in all three accounts, what I find to be interesting is that it doesn't say they brought their sick children to him. They brought the hurting children to him. They brought the lonely children to him. They were looking for a healing. They were looking for deliverance. They were looking for specific prayer. It doesn't say that. It says they brought their children to him in the hopes that he might bless them. So also in Luke, Luke says infants. So these are children of all ages. And like we said earlier, it was a tradition in the Jewish religion that they brought their oldest male to the temple to dedicate him to God. And that's what Jesus' parents did with him. But here we see, these aren't just Jewish people, these are the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. Everybody, bring in their children to Jesus for a blessing. So I also kind of wonder, like, how did they know to bring their children to him? Why is it recorded in three out of the four Gospels? Could it be that in Jesus' travels and in his hanging out in between sermons and all of this, that children would run up to him and he would pay attention to them? He would take time out of his schedule to pay attention to the children. And people knew this. You know people, adults in your life, that when a kid walks into the room, they stop what they are doing and they lift that kid up and they encourage that child and they just make sure that child knows that he or she is the center of all attention and the most important being in that room. There are adults that are like that. God bless you. Because I think this is how Jesus was. Maybe, I'm just, you know, throwing something out there, but when Jesus was traveling along, the kids would come running up to him and he would just hug on them and love on them. And moms and dads caught wind of this. Could you imagine a little kid being maybe 8, 9, 10 years old running home saying that Jesus had blessed him and touched him, and mom, it just, something happened. It was, I don't know what I'm feeling. Just thinking out loud, but maybe. But I think this is where we get our tradition of dedicating our children to God. Because it says in the scriptures that people brought their children to Jesus for a blessing. And also it's important to note that dedicating our children to God does not mean that they're automatically saved. It doesn't mean they automatically get into heaven. It doesn't mean that their life is going to be just great from here on out. Ask any adult in the room. But it does mean that the moms and dads say, God, we know this child is a blessing from you. We want to dedicate this child to you. We ask our church family and you, Lord God, to help us raise this child in your ways, in your word, and to the best of our ability. And we know if we dedicate this child to you, God, that your hand will be upon them. For as much as we can do, we will do our best. That's what child dedication is about. And I believe that Jesus honors that. I, with all my heart, he does. But here's this teaching moment that comes within this little story. Jesus blessed the children that were brought to him, and he says, the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. What does that mean? What, adults? It doesn't belong to adults? The children? I believe what Jesus is saying is you've got to have an innocent trust like these children do. You have to have an innocent childlike trust in Jesus that you believe that he says who he is and that you believe he will do what he says he will do. I mean, let's face it, as adults, we have gone through, some of us, some things that we don't even want to remember anymore. And it shapes who we are. Maybe we have trust issues. Maybe when we hear about this loving Father in heaven, we think to ourselves, I've never experienced that. It can't be true. And maybe we've just had so many people hurt us that we have closed all doors, built all the walls up, and we are done trusting anybody. But Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you have to have this childlike faith in Jesus. And think about this. If you go through life and you're cynical and you're jaded and you're just upset about things, what are you going to be like when you get into heaven? Are you going to be like, oh? Or are you going to be like, oh, well, this is nice, Jesus, but I would probably change the colors of that over there. It's that childlike faith that Jesus is saying that we have to have. You know, no matter how much life's experiences has hindered our trust factor, we have to allow Jesus to shape us and to change us into the person that he created us to be. And it is then and only then that all of those issues will get washed away. And just like dirty water down a drain, there they go, never to return. Because that's how Jesus wants to see us, and that's the relationship he wants to have with us. And there's one more verse that I want to tie into this passage on the importance of children and the kingdom of God. And this verse is found in Matthew 18. It'll be up on the screen. But when I was the children's director years ago, this verse, when I crossed this verse, it really struck a chord in my heart. Because it tells us how important children are to God. Listen to this. This is crazy. So first of all, Jesus starts this little section, passage of teaching out, by talking about who the greatest in the kingdom of God is. And he uses children as his example. And then he goes on to talk a little bit about temptation and how we can deal with that and the things we can do about that. But then he closes his message with this. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. You know, he uses children as his illustrated sermon. And then he ends it with, oh, hey, by the way, these kids right here, beware that you don't look down upon them. They're precious. They have angels that dwell in the presence of my Father in heaven. I think Jesus is saying children are important. They have an innocent trust that should not be broken by anybody. Don't look down on them. Don't belittle them. Don't discourage them. Don't throw them away. Don't ignore them. Lift them up. Encourage them. Admonish them. Cheer them on. Let them know that when they come into a room, they are the most important. Because that's how Jesus sees them. They are special. Children are special. Children are our future. So think about this. If you belittle, look down upon, degrade, you know, a child, you are shaping that child's future. We want to speak life into children. We want to speak hope into children. Because they're going to be taking care of us one of these days. But we speak life into children, and I believe God smiles down upon that. And also, just something to kind of keep me on my toes, they have angels that dwell in the presence of God Almighty in heaven. And I bet they can get pretty upset sometimes. Because of their innocence, children should be regarded as the most cared for. It is the same innocent outlook that a child has on life, Jesus said, that gets us into heaven. Our trust in him, our belief in him. Yes, baby dedications, children dedications, getting dedicated to the Lord is a very important tradition, I believe. But it is also a reminder to us that children are most blessed when they are in the care of Jesus. And so I'll end it with this. As parents, we want the very best for our children. We have hopes for them. We have dreams for them. We want to see them succeed. We don't want to see them hurt. We don't want to see them belittled. We don't want to see them rise up with confidence. But what is the best we can offer our children? What is it that we can give them, aside from a parental love and guidance, to help them succeed in life? I believe it lies in this verse right here. Then Jesus took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. When we introduce our children to Jesus, that is the best we can do to set them up for success. Because when they are touched by God, when they are blessed by Jesus, they won't forget that. They will know that the love they sense from a believing parent, a believer in Jesus, and those that are around them, their church family, when they are encouraged, when they are blessed, when they are admonished, when they are lifted up, we are feeding into them everything that they need to succeed. And this right here is where it all starts. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for everything that's in it. Passages about children, we could gloss right over that, or we can kind of look at it and study it and say, what was it like, Jesus? You got mad at your disciples because they didn't want you to get disrupted, but yet you said, who cares? Bring them to me. They're children. They're innocent. And you know, I just feel compelled to pray for adults here and even teenagers here, even children if you're here, who have been mistreated in life, who haven't been dealt the best hand in life, and you haven't had somebody speak life, encouragement. You haven't had somebody come along you and treat you like you were the most prized possession in the room. And I want you to know right now that Jesus wants you to know that you are his prized possession. That unbeknownst to you this whole time, there have been angels surrounding you. And it is for this moment, right here, today, that you're feeling a touch of Jesus. He is laying his hands upon your head and blessing you. And as we enter into a time of worship, I just ask that you would receive that blessing from him. Let those experiences and those negative things that have been spoken into you wash off of you and down a drain to never return again. God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, for the children at this church, the children that we've just dedicated here to you, God, that you would help all of us as adults become encouragers, that when we see children running through the hallways, we lift them up and we give them a big hug. We let them know how important they are, because that's what you would want us to do. And I thank you for that, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move into a time of ministry here, there's three groups of people that I feel like the Lord wants to address. And the first group is adults. You know, you hear about this childlike faith, but you're saying to yourself, you have no idea what I've been through. And I believe that Jesus right now wants you to know, I do have an idea. I've been with you the whole time. I was there the whole time, and it could have been a lot worse if I wasn't there. And here in just a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that pertains to you, because I believe that Jesus wants to bring freedom into your life right now and to restore that childlike innocence. And the reason that I'm going to ask you to raise your hand is not so everybody can look at you and say, oh, it's that person. But I firmly believe that when we raise our hands to issues, spiritual issues in our lives, we are saying, I no longer want this to have a hold of me. Jesus, I publicly declare, it is yours. Take it. Change me. So if you're here today and you've just, life has just beat you down and you feel like you've lost that innocent trust of a child with Jesus, and that word pertains to you, can I see where you're at? I want to pray for you. Does that pertain to anybody in here? Is there anybody here? Some hands over here. Over here. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Just life has beat you down and you're having a hard time. You've built defenses. You're jaded in certain areas. You've got things in your life that just you're mad at, you know. God wants to change your life today. Anybody else does that speak to? Amen. Some hands over here. All right. Well, Lord God, I bless those hands that are being raised right now. Jesus, I just thank you for the fact that they had the courage to raise their hands, God. And I know that you are speaking specifically to them and directly to them. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you bring peace. Lord God, that they experience what it means to allow you to take that issue upon yourself, wash it down the drain from their lives, and fill them afresh. Touch them. Today is a new day, God. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that, God. Hallelujah. Praise you. And I bless that. Thank you, Jesus. And then also, the second group is kind of for younger people, but you know, you guys are special. Teenagers, you're special. You know, preteens in here, you're special. And here's what I want to do. If you guys want blessed, raise your hand. If you want Jesus to change your life today, raise your hand. At first I was going to say, hey, if you feel like you've been mistreated, raise your hand. But you know what? This all comes into that. If you want a touch from Jesus today, I really, in my head, I sense, if you raise your hand and you want that blessing, I see the hands of Jesus upon your head. And I want to bless that. God, I bless these teenagers over here. They're the future of our church, God. Bless them, Jesus. Father, their hearts that are reaching out to you right now, bless them in the name of Jesus. God, these children over here, God, in the center here with their hands up, Lord, bless them, God. Bless them, Jesus. All the young people, Lord, that have their hands raised, Lord, I pray a blessing upon them. The same blessing that the children received when their parents brought them to you 2,000 years ago is upon you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.